Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Again, tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have none other than our brother in Christ, Deacon Marvin Cox, will be sharing another inspirational poem with us, and then after that, he's going to deliver another word from the Lord. So as I always let you know, and especially for the new listeners on tonight, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready, so that you will be able to follow along with the man of God as he deliver God's word on tonight. God's word lets us know and reminds us that my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. We always open up with prayer, so we're going to do the same thing on tonight. I'm asking all listeners if you would please pray with me, because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty awesome God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again on tonight, touching and agreeing those of us that are saved in your Son Jesus' name. We're touching and agreeing on one accord again tonight that you are God alone. And without you, we can do nothing. We know that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for just another day that you have allowed us to wake up and see without hurt, harm, or danger. We thank you for every angel that you have encamped all around us that watches over us throughout the day and through the night while we slumber and sleep. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives and resides in every believer and every faithful doer of your word in Jesus' name. We come now, Heavenly Father, asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions and blot out all of our iniquities, because we do know and realize that we do sin and we fall short of your glory. So that's why we are so grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, that is through him and through his name, that we can be forgiven of our sins and transgressions so that we can move forward and complete and fulfill our God assignments in the earth that would give you glory, honor, and praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for touching my great-nephew, Julian, He had to be rushed to the hospital emergency. He's 8 months old, but he had to be rushed to the emergency hospital 3 times this week. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that the doctors have found the situation and have given him the medication that he needs. So we give you glory and honor and praise for that. Not only for my nephew, but my cousins, Ken Hogue, who broke both shoulders. He's now home recuperating. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that he did not fall on his head. But we thank you that he has undergone 2 surgeries and he's now home recuperating. And then in New Jersey. And then we also thank you for my cousin, Marianne King, who was hospitalized due to low blood pressure. She's home now recuperating. So now, not only them, but all those, Heavenly Father, our sisters and brothers in Christ that are dealing with health issues, those that are dealing with PTSD disorders, and those that have suicidal thoughts or mental depression that may be sick in their bodies for whatever reasons, even our friends and our sisters and brothers on social media that are going through problems with their bodies, minds, and spirits, touch, heal, and deliver in each case, in each situation, as only you can, because we do know that you're still healing, you're delivering, and you're setting your people free, that you will get the glory out of our lives after you have touched us and healed us, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And also, Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that have breathed on tonight. Continue to bless them. Continue to comfort and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we lift up all those that may be tuning on tonight that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ. It's our prayer, our hope and desire that something will be said through your word, through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, that will touch their hearts, that they will hear your word, and then they will receive your word. And after hearing and receiving your word, they will open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask them to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. We continue to lift up our sisters and brothers in Christ over in Jerusalem and in Israel. Your word lets us know that we are to continuously pray for them. So we pray for the peace and prosperity of our sisters and brothers in Jerusalem and Israel, that we give you glory, honor, and praise. So now, Lord, we ask that you would have your way on tonight. Help us to decrease so that you may increase in each one of us individually and then as a corporate body of believers for your name's sake. And then, oh God, we lift up every believer and every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry platform. Continue to bless them, even the new listeners for the first time on tonight. Bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we have another scripture food for thought that comes to us saying, if you are waiting on God, do what waiters do. Serve. Wow, that's powerful right there. I'm going to repeat that again because somebody needs to catch that. The scripture food for thought, once again, on tonight is, if you are waiting on God, do what waiters do, serve. I welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Also, please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any songs or music played on this music or this worldwide ministry or platform. In the form of announcements, please mark your calendars because God is doing great and marvelous things through this worldwide platform. I've mentioned it before, but I'm going to mention it again because we have a lot of new listeners. God has opened the door for this worldwide platform and ministry to be heard and any other ministry that I share on my Facebook page. Now they're able to hear these ministries and hear God's word in the prisons all over the United States. Thank God for opening that door. Prisoners all over the United States can hear this worldwide platform and hear other ministries that I share with them on Facebook. So I give God the glory, honor, and praise. It is marvelous in our eyes what God is doing for his glory. In the form of announcements, I want to say I'm so excited to announce that God has blessed our oldest sister, Janice Nielsen, to write and publish her first book, and it's titled Belinda. Belinda is the title of her book. If you know of anyone that's in a mixed marriage or have children that are mixed races, that's what this book is dealing with. So her book is now available, and it's really especially designed for children, but adults can be blessed by it as well. So if you're struggling with your situation because you are in a mixed marriage, this will be a great book for you and your children, because some people can be very cruel regarding that, even in today's society. Her book is titled Belinda, and it's available now at Amazon, Janice.com. And my sister's name is Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, Janice Nielsen, N-I-E-L-S-E-N. It's her last name, Janice Nielsen, out of Amherst, Massachusetts. So I thank God for what he's doing in her life. In the form of announcements regarding my guests, God has opened some doors. We have a lot of new guests that's going to be coming up in the month of March. So I want you to mark your calendars. But for the remainder of February, we have I'm just going to start with today because we are in the middle of February already, Black History Month. Again, today, Deacon Marvin Cox will be delivering God's word very shortly. Every third Thursday night, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C., deliver God's word. Normally, every third Saturday night, I normally have the Sunday school superintendent of the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Tillman Jr. is the pastor and shepherd. Deacon Eddie Blakely normally brings forth God's word every third Thursday or Saturday night. But I have a special guest, Brother William Cobbs, will be sharing with us on the third Saturday of February, the 19th of February. Normally, every fourth Thursday night, I normally have Prophetess Sherry Walker-Shy out of Conyers, Georgia. She normally brings forth God's word, but I have a special guest on that night, my new pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway. He is the pastor of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, which is located in Harper Woods, Michigan. He will be my special guest on the fourth Thursday night of this month. And finally, Pastor Norman King, my first cousin, the pastor of the Victor's Outreach Ministries located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He always delivers a powerful word from the Lord. Again, Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina, every fourth Saturday night, deliver God's word. So right now, again, I pray and hope you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready. Again, the phone lines will be open. So if you have any comments or feedback for Deacon Marvin Cox or questions or words of encouragement for him after he has delivered the word, you will have a chance to do so after he has delivered the word on tonight. But right now, we're going to go to our music break, and we're going to go to, because we are in such a world crisis right now, the fervent prayers of the righteous avail as much. So that's why I'm going to play this song on tonight. Pray for me. Enjoy the music break.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. you know you're standing in need of prayer, if you know you're standing in need of prayer, come on, open your mouth, everybody, and say prayer.
Yes, Lord, pray for me. Well, before we get Deacon Marvin Cox to bring forth his poem and share God's word with us on tonight, I want to remind the listeners that we, as sisters and brothers in Christ, because of the world situation that we're living in today, don't forget to lift up our sisters and brothers in Christ that are less fortunate than we are. Don't forget to lift up all of those that are women and children that are in homeless shelters and battered shelters. On tonight, we need to continue to lift them up in prayer. The word, again, the word of God says, the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. So once again, I am so excited about all the new guests that are going to be coming forth in the month of March. So I will be giving those guest names and dates. They will be appearing on this worldwide platform. And once again, I am so excited to bring forth my new pastor of my new church home, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, pastor of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church, located in Hopper Woods, Michigan, will be my special guest on the fourth Thursday night of this month. So please mark your calendars. This is an awesome, powerful man of God. You don't want to miss this word that God is going to share with us through him. So right now, we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you. And don't forget, listeners, the phone lines are open. So after you have concluded, you will have a chance to give him words of encouragement or ask questions. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown. Thank the Lord for this opportunity. And we have to be careful when an opportunity is given to us that we don't abuse that opportunity or that we don't use it for our own selfish gain. Now, the main purpose is for me to bring forth God's word, and I thank God for that, because that is an awesome responsibility for him to pick someone like me to bring forth his word. And that being said, I will bring forth the poem that the Lord has given me to give to you, which is basically pertaining to tonight's lesson. Is called A Good Heart. One thing about a good heart, I will tell you no lie. You can't make a good heart look foolish, no matter how hard you try. A good heart will give when others won't. A good heart will do when others don't. A good heart will feel when others are numb. A good heart is smart. A good heart is not dumb. A good heart will travel, yet stay in its place. A good heart is full of mercy and grace. A good heart is certain, honest, and pure. A good heart is dependable, confident, and sure. A good heart won't mislead you, but it will show you the way. A good heart will never lead you astray. A good heart will speak the truth and not promote that which is false. A good heart will never check its own pulse. A good heart is rarely recognized for the kind things that is due. I'm so glad that God put a good heart inside of you. Now, I'm going to immediately go into the ninth lesson. I'll be reading to you from Proverbs 15th chapter, verses 13 through 15, and it reads, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of foolish feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continuous feast." I just read it to you from Proverbs, the 15th chapter, verses 13 through 15. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will. And may he ever
set
up souls forever. Amen. Now, topic tonight that is basically self-explanatory, and it's coming from the 15th chapter, verse number 13. And I read it to you from King James Version, but I will read it to you from another periodical, which explains it a little bit better, because sometimes, you know, we hear the word continence and so forth and on, and we, you know, the Bible won't confuse you, but sometimes we hear two different words, but it really means the same thing, and it reads, "A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit." And that's from Proverbs 15, chapter 13, verse. Now, the subject that we choose tonight is written all over your face. We're talking about this cheerful heart, and it's kind of amazing how sometimes we, our heart is just like a camera. Whatever develops in our heart, whatever we have in our heart is just like a camera. In the dark room, it develops on our
Isaiah.
Face.
Yeah.
And the Lord is telling
Lakers
us.
And Golden State is on the
Somebody need to mute their phone. I know. Somebody need to mute their phone.
I know.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Dickie Barber.
Okay, say a happy heart.
I'm about to mute you so they won't hear nothing.
They ain't going to hear nothing anyway.
Oh, okay.
The face, but heartache crushes the spirit. Now, as I was saying, sometimes the things that we do in life is just like a telegraph. People can tell when we're not doing too well, because why? It's written all over your face. Sometimes a person could come into a room and you're not feeling too good, or you're feeling bad, or you just received some bad news, and the first thing they ask you, "What's wrong?" Say, "There's nothing wrong." They say, "Yes, it is, because it's written all over your face." Now, tonight we're talking about, let's say we're talking about the issues of the heart. We're talking about that telegraph that's not in your chest, but it's in your head. Let me straighten this out right now, that we know that we have that biological heart, which is the heart that pumps blood and provides life in our body. But tonight we're talking about that mind that is in Jesus, because out of all issues of life flows from the heart. And we have to be careful, because, see, there are some people out there, they call them readers, that can detect when something is wrong with you. And these are the people who will give you bad advice. They will prostitute themselves and give you bad advice because they're trying to take advantage of the situation that you're in. Now, there are some people who will come to you and or people that you will go to, and you will pay them for the same thing that that preacher just told you. You will pay them to give you, you know, it's something else that we have to, or that we pay people to bring forth good news to us. When all we got to do is just keep on reading down in the Bible, we realize that good news is not too far away, but it's written on your face. So that's like a radar detector that gives you a way that holds you down into a position that you don't want to be in. But it says a cheerful heart, a happy heart, a joyous heart makes the face cheerful. A happy heart does that. And sometimes, as I say, you can tell when a person is going through something. You can tell when they're happy or excited about something. Why? Because it's on their face. And this is what I have to warn you about, because it says in the Bible that the heart is deceitful. It says that who can trust the heart? It says that the heart, it holds many things. And see, as I said, we have to be extra careful. Now, Proverbs 4 and 23 tells us, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So all the issues, all of the thoughts, everything that you do, it originates in your heart. You got to, it start off as a thought. And sometimes we feed that thought and it takes us in the wrong direction. And Brother Brown said something about it earlier as far as February being like National Suicide Month. There's more people between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day that are taking their lives because it's written on their face. But sometimes we refuse to see that our brother or that our sister needs help. We can see the discomfort. We can see the pain. We can see the anguish. But we won't even stop and say, hey, brother, can we pray? Can we pray together? Hey, brother, or hey, sister, it's going to be all right. Or just hang in there. Be patient. These are the things that we must do in order to do what it is that God will have us to do. We must guard our heart, because now there's so much mental illness going around. There's so much, you know, even the Bible says that there will come a time when men will not endure sound doctrine, which means that, and if you look up sound, and the Greek word sound is another word for hygienist. And hygiene is another word for healthy. So come a time when men will not have healthy thoughts, where they will pursue the lust of their own flesh, and we become lost, or we become alienated from the truth only because we're pursuing the lust of the flesh. And now at that time, I mean, it's everywhere, but we must guard our heart. We must think healthy thoughts, because God's word says, so thinketh a man in his heart, then guess what? So is he. What's in the heart reaches the heart, and that's why a lot of times you find a group of people who gather themselves together and they have a corruptibility about themselves, and that one corrupt person begin to exercise their thoughts, and then it gathers momentum. It's just like a California wildfire. Before you know it, it's out of control. If you don't believe me, just look about you. Look at how our politicians are doing. Look how our family members are doing. Look how the murder rate is up. All of these things. Why? Because it's written on your face. Now, I can't speak for you, but I know that I knew Brother Brown's mother pretty well, and most of our mothers, it was a time when we did something, and they could just look at us and say, you guilty.
You look guilty.
I would wonder, how would my mother say, I look guilty? And she said, I don't know what you did, but you did something.
Yes,
so
sir.
It was written all over my face, because you don't have the same activities when you did something wrong. And see, there are so many things that we got to be careful. Say, guard your heart, because there's a lot of people out there that have taught themselves, a whole lot of Hollywood actors and actresses that hide behind a smile, because we think that it's friendly. We think that a smile is something that we can trust. But people have trained themselves, and see, what that one thing that a smile does, whether we know it or not, a smile disarms people. A smile makes you feel comfortable. A smile allows you to let your guards down. Now, I'm going to give you some examples, okay, and see, when it's written on all over your face, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, sometimes things don't be going too good, but I found out that I have defeated a whole lot of my ailments with just a smile. And I say to myself, God, you know, and I tell people all the time, I say, you know what, the Lord really do have a sense of humor. And now God is serious. I said, yes, he's serious about everything. I said, but you don't think he got a sense of humor? Take a look at me. Take a look at yourself. You know, I got this big old body on this little bitty head on this big old body. Now, that's funny to me, but I'm just saying it to say that God understands. Whatever it is that you're going through, whatever calamity that may be in your life, just be patient, because he can tell when something is going on. Other people can tell, but see, as I say, we got to be careful. Now, let me tell you, sometimes the contents of a smile, okay? A smile can be friendly. A smile gives recognition. A smile gives approval. A smile disarms. These are all the things that a frown will do. But all the while, it's a plot. It's a plot against you. And I'm talking about, when I say it's written all over your face, I'm talking about the facial expressions that we sometimes have when we in pain. Because see, a smile, it represents your body English. It represents your personality. Have you ever ran across an individual who it seems like nothing fazed them? Why? Because they smile all the time. In good times and in bad times, they always got a smile wrapped around their face. They always are being optimistic about something. And see, that's, as I say, it represents hope. These are the things we go through when we in pain or we frustrated. That smile brings hope. And God, hey, even if you don't do it right now, I know you're capable of taking these ailments away from me. Smile, love, and how you look at somebody with love and approval. And when the Lord was being baptized, God looked upon his son with love. He said, this is my son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. So that smile brings about love. Okay. The smile also brings about acknowledgement. Sometimes you look at something and you nod. You say, okay, I figured you out. I'm not going to allow you to use or manipulate me anymore, because people would use that smile or they would try to do these things to your own hurt. Also, it brings about recognition. You know how you go into a place and there's nobody but strangers in there. People, I'll put it this way, people you're not familiar with. And then you see somebody you hadn't seen in a long time, and then you don't have to say a word, but it's written on your face because your head begins to gently go up and down because you recognize that individual. So that it brings about recognition. A smile also brings about acceptance. Okay, you know, after you negotiated and everything and you bring forth that handshake, then you were letting the person know that I accept and I approve of the deal that we just made and I'm pleased with this deal. It also brings about familiarity, something that you recognize and you're going to smile because you know what you know what you know about that. It brings about acknowledgement. All of these things that is written all over your face. You cannot hide, nor can you conceal these things. But I'm just saying, over there, Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart. And see, we got that heart, as I say, that's in our heart. We got to guard our, that heart and take care of that heart and everything. But we also have to guard that heart, which that mind that is in Christ Jesus, we have to also let that be in us. We cannot allow ourselves to let our mind be cluttered with the foolishness of the world because verse number 13 said that he that have foolish thoughts, and I'm just paraphrasing, he feedeth on foolishness. So I'm just saying, you know, to use a slang expression, we cannot allow ourselves to go for the okey-doke because there are used car salesmen out there that are very enthusiastic about selling you something that they know you can't use just in order to extort you. Now, we know about the contents of a frown, I mean of a smile. Now, we're going to talk about three things that is contained in a frown. Because it's written over your face. It's written on your face. And when you disapprove of something, you very rarely see somebody that disapprove of something and they smile and it's, you know, they got a frown on their face because they say, no, that's not so. I don't agree with that. Also, a frown is come forth when you reject something. Say, no, you can't. You got to give me a better deal. I'm not going along with that because that's not appropriate for me to do. So there's so many different things that we have to be careful of. And as I say, it represents disappointment. It represents rejection. And it represents unacceptance. So that smile, see, that smile got a whole lot of things attached to it. So you would have to have that discernment or spirit in order to know because there are some people that we thought were sincere. And there's a lot of people out there, hate to say it, but there's a whole lot of people out there that will cut your throat with a smile on their face.
Yeah.
And you say to yourself, I never thought that he, she, or they would do something like that to me. But these things and these days and these times is written on your face. You can't conceal it. And it's a good thing that we can share happiness. It's a good thing that we can share our charity with people. But see, God, he looks into the heart. God is able to do these things. Now, we're going to go to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and the 7th verse, it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Now, what is that saying to me, Deacon? It's saying a familiar phrase that specifically applies to this scripture. That is, that you cannot judge a book by the cover. Say, don't look on the outward appearance. Don't look on the stature. Don't look on the height. Don't even look on the smell. Because a lot of times we think that we're high and mighty and we reject people because they don't look right or they don't sound right. But see, these are all just superficial things because we have to look deep down into the heart. We have to be able to understand that everybody don't come from the same station. Everybody is not as affluent as everybody else. There are some people that's going to struggle, but guess what? They got a good heart. There are some people that is going through some difficulties in their life, but guess what? They got a good heart. And God is letting us know that these things that are written on your face, He wants us to be cheerful, as it says in Proverbs, the 15th chapter, the 13th verse, that a cheerful heart, a contrite spirit, and I'm just adding on to it, to say, but a cheerful heart makes the face happy. Now, I know that this joy that I have that the world didn't give to me, I know that that makes my day. Now, we know we're going to move over here to Proverbs 17 and 22. And it says that a cheerful heart is good medicine, but the spirit dries up the bones. Now, see, so this cheerful heart, this good medicine, I think I did a service on that many years ago. But guess what? See, good medicine don't have side effects. When you smile at somebody or you got that smile on your face, there's no defense for that smile. Now, some people who are living in misery don't want you to smile at them. Some people who, when they're going through a hard time, they want everybody else to go through that same hard time. But see, not so, because it's written all over your face. Now, when you do things from your heart, you're doing it with all sincerity. And as I say, words say, let that mind that is in Christ Jesus also be in you. I believe that's Proverbs 3rd chapter, the 5th verse. So we have to learn how to train ourselves. Because there are so many people out there that's going to prey upon your vulnerabilities. They're going to reach out and give you what they call or what you might feel is a sensible solution to your problem. But guess what? It's going to take your life savings for you to feel better. So we have to be careful when these things come about. Because whether we know it or not, our lifestyle, the way we carry ourselves, is the biggest snitch that there ever was. Sometimes you just don't have to say anything because people, they used to call them profilers. They look at somebody and then, now the first thing they did, they used to stereotype people, lump people into a category. And then now they went from there to profilers, And now they done changed it because all of these particular phrases were offensive. Now it's known as a behavioral analysis. They're watching. Now, there are some people. I know our pastors can do it. When that evil spirit walks into the sanctuary, that pastor has that spirit of discernment. And he immediately put the parishioners on guard, that keep your mind on Jesus. And that's why the most important thing when the man of God is praying or the woman of God is praying, for you to focus on that prayer. Because just like when the swine, when the Lord cast the swine out of the people and they got into the swine and they ran down the hill, see, as soon as that demon is cast out of something or someone, then it's looking for a new home. It's just like the boy, we were looking for a home. So we have to be careful. See, that loose mind, he's going to get in there. That's why we got to keep our children quiet when the man of God is going forth with the word. We have to keep our mind and keep our focus on that which has been brought forth. Why? Because it's written on your face. And whether we know it or not, our face is an invitation to people. You know how sometimes people just seem like they gravitate to us. I mean, and we might say something to somebody, they give us the craziest look, say, no, they just gave me that look that they don't want to be bothered. They didn't verbalize it, but just that look. And you know how Brother Brown and other people who've ever been in the grocery store with your mama or your dad, but mostly it's the mother that got that look. You know how your mama gives you that look and it chills you to the bone.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to say not one word, but you know you better straighten up and fly right.
That's right.
Why? Because it's written all over her face.
That's
so
right.
Looks can always tell us that which we need to know. Looks can always give us warning signs. Looks can always inform us when a brother or sister is going through a dilemma and needs some comfort. Looks can bring us together because we say to ourselves, something just didn't look right about. Something just wasn't right about this brother. Something wasn't right about that sister. So our detectives, and see, we communicate, as I say, through facial expressions and the heart. We got to be careful because I believe that the Word of God said a man that trusts his heart is a fool. Why? Because that particular heart right there had lustful thoughts. That particular heart right there didn't have the concentration that it needed on the Lord. So that's why, because if it's in my heart to do charitable work, then I should not be classified as that foolish person. But there's so many different things that can throw an individual off course that by the time they realize or the time we realize, we didn't got. They didn't got away with the goods. And when it comes to affairs of the heart, which means that we allow ourselves to care so much about somebody that even though they're doing wrong, we still support them in their wrongness and not tell them that what you're doing is not good. That what you're thinking about is not good. So your face is written on your face, whether you know it or not. I can look at you. You probably can look at me. Sometimes you can almost see what a person is thinking. And women, you know what I'm talking about, how, you know, you walk past a gentleman and he's lustfully looking at you, you know, eyeing you up and down, shaking his head and so forth and all. It's written on his face that he's desiring you, but not in a righteous way. Not to see what type of mind you have or not to see what type of person you are, but for other immoral things. So it's written on your face, and we have to bring that up under subjection because, see, if you telegraph everything. It's just like being in a football game. If you give away the play before it's activated, then you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. Sports stay prayed up. And when things bother us, because that's all that he want to do, he want us to denounce the Lord. He want us to say, I can't trust the Lord, because it's, to me, it's nothing worse than a continuous unhappy Christian. And the reason I say that, because even though we have aches and pains, we don't really have no idea of the impact that we have on other people, people who are looking at us.
That's
people
right.
People who, you know, people who are sizing us up. And they might say, shoot, if serving the Lord means I'm going to be happy all the, unhappy all the time, I'd rather not serve the Lord. So I see the time it got away from me, but, and Brother Brown promised that he'd give, you know, people an opportunity to speak. So I thank the Lord for this opportunity. Remember, it's written on your face. That's a dead giveaway. So now I turn over. Thank you for the privilege of your time. Now I turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown. May God bless you and may he keep you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Deacon Marvin Cox, thank you for that word on tonight. You know, that was a powerful message that you just gave to us pertaining to it's written all over your face, because a lot of times we don't look at it the way you broke it down to us. And sometimes we take that for granted, the looks on our faces. And we thank God that he don't look at us the way man do. So at this time, I'm going to say to you, as I always do, you continue to stay on the wall. And for those that are new listeners on tonight, I'm going to share this little testimony real quick, and I'm going to give you all a chance and opportunity to speak to Deacon Marvin Cox, because a lot of new listeners, because we are being heard through prisons all over the United States now, and through this worldwide social media platform. A lot of people do not know Deacon Marvin Cox's circumstance, his difficult circumstance. He has shared it with the listeners before, but I'm going to share with you, too, those of you that may not know, that Deacon Marvin Cox suffers with muscular dystrophy. He cannot get around and walk around like you and I may do. He has to crawl around on the floor. But thank God that he don't let that handicap stop him from doing what God has ordained and called for him to do. He is still delivering God's word. People are still hearing God's word. Souls are still being saved through hearing God's word through Deacon Marvin Cox. Backsliders are coming back to the fold. And the body of Christ is being strengthened and edified through Deacon Marvin Cox, because he's standing on God's word and still delivering God's word. He's not letting his handicap be an excuse not to do what God has called and ordained for him to do. So I want to say personally to Deacon Marvin Cox, you continue to stay on the wall, and because you're doing a great work, and you cannot come down now. So right now, again, the phone lines are open. Do anyone have any words of encouragement for Deacon Marvin Cox, or do you anyone have any questions for him at this time? The phone lines are open. I personally thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox for this word on tonight. Anyone?
Yeah. I like to tell him how much I love him, how much I thank him.
Well, thank you, brother.
Yes, I'd like to tell him how much I love him and how much I thank him and how much he inspires me every day. And I'm just so blessed by his messages and his poems. And one day I inspired to be a great artist and to inspire by, he inspired this ministry, Bountiful Grace, Increasing Faith, and this music ministry, Triple H Holy Hip Hop. And I'm so pleased to be his friend. And God bless you, Deacon Cox.
Thank you, sir.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for those words of encouragement. Anyone else?
And I echo my son Isaiah, this is Isaiah's mom. Mr. Cox, you never disappoint. You always come through with a word of encouragement. And I just so much enjoy your poems, and tonight, A Good Heart. was so fulfilling. And also your message about the frown, the three things about the frown. So thank you, and God bless you, and continue on in God's grace.
Okay, thank you, man.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for those words of encouragement, Deacon Marvin Cox. Anyone else? We have words of encouragement for him, or maybe have a question?
Brother Cox, Deacon Cox, that was a beautiful poem, a good heart. Now, I would like to know how do you respond when someone has a smile on their face, but mean or evil words are coming out of their mouth?
Ooh, that's good.
Well, that's good. Okay, that's a good question. But see, that's a sign right there, okay, that you cannot trust that individual. See, they didn't know because, see, their lifestyle is the biggest snitch there ever was. Because how could I give you sugar and salt at the same time? So when an individual is smiling and spewing out all types of negative stuff, just do your best. Just hold your peace and distance yourself from that individual because that person is not sincere in what they're doing because they are like a walking contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
So maintain your integrity.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Thank you. Amen.
You're welcome. Anybody else?
Yeah.
I'm going to call you back.
All right. Okay.
Is there anyone else who would like to give Deacon Robert Cox any words of encouragement or maybe you have a question for him on tonight while the phone lines are still open? Well, I just want to take time out to say thank you to all of those of you that did give words of encouragement and those of you that may have a question for Deacon Robert Cox on tonight. You see, we know that God's word is never going to go out void. It's always going to accomplish everything that God sets out for it to do. Brother Isaiah and the young lady, his mother, I don't know who you all are, but I want to say to you all personally, thank you all for dialing in to this worldwide ministry and platform. You are a blessing, and I thank God that every time you all dial in, that you are receiving a word from the Lord that will give you strength and more faith to run on in Jesus' name and see what the end is going to be. So I thank God for you all faithfully tuning in to this worldwide ministry and platform.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Awesome.
God bless you. Once again, we're going to close out for tonight, but I just want to say thank God. I am so excited. You all just don't know how excited I am to let you all know that this worldwide ministry and platform and other ministries and platforms that I share on my Facebook page are being heard throughout prisons all over the United States. Those that are incarcerated behind prison bars are getting the word of God. They're having a chance to be inspired and lifted up by God's word. They have an opportunity to hear God's word and be saved in Jesus' name. So that's what it's all about. So we're going to close out in prayer on tonight, as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we come once again. Thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us. Thank you for who and all that you are. We thank you for doing the great work that you're doing in each one of us individually, then as a corporate body of believers all over the land. Now, Lord, we pray and lift up every man and woman of God that's going to deliver your word on tomorrow, whether it's in your house of worship or whether it's over social media or all over the land. Touch them, anoint them right now, that they will be able to share your word through your Holy Spirit as you give the discernment and that as you lead and guide them as they deliver your word, that souls will be saved on tomorrow, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that those that are in the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word is our prayer and our hope and desire in the name of Jesus. And Father, we continue to lift up all those that are less fortunate than us all over the land. Continue to bless them, strengthen them, and have your way in their lives that you will get the glory. And continue to bless every faithful listener that tunes into this worldwide platform and ministry all over the land, whether it's their first time on tonight or not. Bless them, grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Remember and know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. You don't want to forget about this coming Thursday night, next Thursday night. we have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C., awesome man of God, will be delivering God's word on next Thursday night. So until then, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Oh,